The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. You send your Spirit to light our hearts on fire, to fill our minds and our imaginations with what is possible in you. Amen. All right, I want you all to do me a favor. Close your eyes. Don't worry about your purses, they're fine. Close your eyes. Now, put yourself in John's sandals. You're standing in the middle of the River Jordan. The water is about waist deep. You can feel the sand between your toes, the currents on the back of your legs. You can see the folks who have gathered to hear, gathered to come and be baptized. You're tired from a day in the sun, a day of interaction with so many. Walking in front of you, you see Jesus. You've known him your entire life. You're just a couple months older than him. Raised together, possibly educated together. He stands before you and asks to be baptized. A little conversation ensues, you give in. Placing your hands upon his shoulders, you notice for the first time he's a little taller than you thought he was, a little broader. Shoulders warm from a day in the sun. And together, you go down to the river. First your chest, and your shoulders, and your face, rising together, water dripping from your hair, running down your back, and everything has changed. All right, thanks. Open your eyes. John was a really interesting individual. Everything we know about him, from the Bible, from what little historic documents we have about him, you see someone who is outside of the norms of the community in which he lives. He's got tons of followers. In fact, at this point, he's got far more disciples than Jesus does. Many who think he's possibly the Messiah, no matter how many times he tells them he's not. Many who believe he's one of the ancient prophets come back. He's a man who has the potential of being very powerful. Lots of followers, lots of people who will just show up anywhere where he's speaking to hear him talk. And he scares the hell out of the authorities. And the reason he scares them is because they don't understand him. He has the potential of having great power and great wealth. But he chooses not to. He chooses not to use what God has given him to point to himself, but to be a guidepost, a North Star, pointing to something bigger, to something greater, something holy, something divine. That day, he's pointing down the river to the coming of God as the Emmanuel, to the coming of God in the incarnation of the man Jesus, who he has known since he was a little kid. You know, it's always funny when you meet somebody after a while. I don't suspect John and Jesus ever spent much time apart geographically because nobody got very far back then. But you know when you kind of grow in different directions than someone else that you grow up with? And it's always kind of hard to see them as an adult. My fraternity brothers still think this is a joke. And they still find great amusement in it. The very first time I preached at St. Stephen's, the church that sent me to seminary 26 years ago, I was walking in. I am now the father of, was Henry born? Yes, I'm the father of two children. I've been married a number of years. They've known me since I was a teenager. And as I'm walking in the procession, I'm preaching that day, first time in public outside of the chapel seminary, the seminary chapel, I hear two older women in the back go, "Oh, look, little Bobby Hooper's with us." I have never been little. Well, that's actually not true. You know, it's just different. It's different experiencing somebody who is different than you thought they were going to be. And John's got to have that thing going on with Jesus and Jesus with John. You know, they remember each other running around the workshop. You can see them chasing each other and having play sword fights with the kindling left from Joseph's work. But now they're two fully formed, grown adults on a mission. And while so many people have wanted John to put himself forefront in all of that, like I said, he has seen himself as a guidepost, as a North Star, as one pointing to something bigger and greater. If you look through any catalog of medieval paintings, or especially in the Middle Ages, or you go through a museum with a good religious art collection, John is a frequent subject that was painted. And he almost always looks exactly the same, except for when he shows up at a party losing his head at Herod's wife's birthday. John is always standing there. He's thin, looks somewhat emaciated. Evidently, locust and honey is not all that nutritional. And he's pointing. He's pointing to a space and a place just above his eye level, off in the distance. He's just standing there, pointing. And that's who John was. That's who John is. One who points to something better. The interesting thing for me about Jesus' baptism is the simple one-word question of why. John proclaimed a baptism of repentance, a baptism of reconciliation, a baptism of getting your act together. Why would Jesus, the incarnation of the living God, need to participate in such a thing? For me, it speaks to that very thing, to Jesus' incarnation. If God is going to be one of us, God needs to know what it is to be one of us. And for the people in John's circle and Jesus' circle, this was a moment that was destined to take place. Jesus, and through Jesus, God knows what it's like to be us. To be frustrated. To be irritated. To not feel great. Anybody who thinks that Jesus was never angry hasn't read the Bible. Anybody who thinks Jesus was not impatient never met Peter. I have recently gotten back to the gym after a certain hiatus of self-punishment, I guess. Or is it the punishment of going back to the gym? I don't know. I've gone back to the gym. I wake up so sore, so tight, that it takes a good hour or so just to kind of move again. And after I've done a week or so of aerobics, I've started lifting weights again. My hands hurt. But that's okay. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to participate in the incarnation. To wake up in the morning sore. To spend your day irritated. To spend your evening joyously. To understand sorrow. To understand pain. Loss. Jesus knows this. And I don't know about you, but I find that outrageously liberating. Now, I believe, and you've heard me say it before, that each and every one of us is a participant in that incarnational moment. That while John pointed the way, Jesus opened the door and invites us in to participate in his ministry, in his mission, in his life. A life that says that love is more powerful than wealth. That love and forgiveness have greater meaning than authority. That who we are as the beloved of God is all we need to be. You have, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in your life, no matter how hard it was for you to get out of bed this morning, you have everything you need to be the hands and heart of the living God in this world. No matter what this is God's perfection. It's perfect. Now, I'll speak for myself. It doesn't mean I could get a little more patience. 55 years in, don't see it happening anytime soon. Could use to lose a little weight, working on it. You know, we all have our thing, right? Does anybody not have that one thing when they look in their mirror and they're like, eh? But it's just, everybody's mind's going, yeah. But my husband's worse. But no, we all have those things, but that doesn't matter. Because what you've got is what you need. What you need to participate in the incarnate life of God here amongst us. I not only find that liberating, I find that exciting. I find that invigorating. If you need purpose in your life, there you go. There you go. John pointed the way. Jesus opened the door and has invited us in. Now, on a typical Bob Hooper sermon, it would end with something like, so, what are you going to do? How are you going to participate? Where is God calling you to be? And I do believe that stuff. I think it's really important for us to ask those questions. Because until you ask the questions, you're never going to come up with an answer, right? So at this point, I would say amen, and I would walk up to the altar, and we would continue with the service. But I have found myself more and more doing that and getting to that space, or in the car driving home going, well, that was easy to say, but how easy is it to do? Easy to say, but I don't believe it's particularly easy to do. What does it mean to participate in a loving relationship with God? What does it mean to be the hearts and hands of God in the world? What does that look like? Now we can go to the five final questions in the baptismal covenant. Always a good place to go, but we're not going to do that today. In fact, in Lent, we're going to spend 5 days exploring those through an adult forum series. But what does it look like to be more fully you? I'll give you some examples. How do you share yourself with others? How do you participate in lives that are more difficult than yours? You know, I was looking at the sign-ups for the Martin Luther King Day of Service, which are woefully empty. I was wondering, you know, years past, every year, we filled those things up with people who wanted to participate at hand up, food share, and all kinds of different things. Yet this year, other than a couple of families and a couple of high school kids, nobody signed up. And I thought, Bob, what's the difference? Well, the difference is, in years past, we've walked around with the sign-ups and said, what would you like to sign up for? What would you like to sign up for? What would you like to sign up for? And this year, we thought, you know what? They're adults. They'll figure it out. Well, evidently, I overestimated you. But that's okay. So those are fine examples of how do we participate. Can you imagine what it would be like to live on the streets? And some of you may know. Can you imagine what it would be like to have to go to the basement of Christ Church Cathedral in Hartford just so you know you're going to get a solid meal at least once that day? I don't know about you, but I would find that extraordinarily hard. If you haven't noticed, I'm not the world's most humble individual. My ego gets in my way constantly. That would be very, very hard for me to do. And I suspect most people are like that. So to think that life has been so difficult that you're willing to do that is a statement to where you are now finding yourself. Now you go down there. If you've never been to Christ Church Cathedral where Church Street Eats is, it's this big kind of dining room space, very similar to ours, with a kitchen. And it fills up with folks at lunchtime. It's usually too hot. And there are volunteers who come and cook. And you've been asked, you've been invited to participate in that. So now your day's been lousy. You've come to get some food, to get into a warm space. And this person whose lives doesn't look like yours has prepared you lunch. That's really cool. In some ways, it's tough on the ego. But it also says, somebody got up in West Hartford, did whatever they needed to do to be somewhere else, and came down and made me lunch. That's called incarnate ministry. That's called using your hearts and your hands to help the lives of others. That's what it looks like. Maybe it just looks like some quiet prayer time in conversation with a God who may not be talking but sure is listening. So John pointed the way. Jesus opened the door and invited us into a life of something bigger, a life of something better, a life of something holy. And you are all you need to be to participate fully in that. Why? because God made you, because God loves you. It's really that simple.